perception, and the spiritual hearing, and the spiritual revelation, things that that have not entered, that we have not been seen by the eye, not heard by the ear, nor entered the heart of man. And these are things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, when you start to see those things, and you start to hear those things, and we ran it around over to the healing side, because we realized that the foundation of salvation is a pattern into the kingdom. If you're ever wondering how things work in the kingdom, they work a lot like salvation. You hear the word, you get a revelation of it. That's what Peter did, remember? He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You got a revelation of that. That wasn't the rumors on the street. You got that from God. You got that from the Father." So you get a revelation, and then he spoke. He combined a spiritual thing with spiritual words and confessed. The same way Romans 10:10 says, you believe in your heart justification and you confess with your mouth to salvation. And that he was seeing Jesus as the Christ. And he confessed it. Same pattern. That's the second chapter of Corinthians. And he did the same thing. Jesus says the same thing. Paul says the same thing. And then what you do is, when you have that, that's what that I Prophecy song is about, I Prophesy, is you have a revelation, you begin to put spiritual words to it. Combining spiritual things with spiritual words, so that you are the appraiser and appraised by no one, because you are starting to operate with the mind of Christ. And that foundation goes all through the kingdom. And that's why Jesus would say in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" That's a kingdom title, not a savior title. "And don't do what I say." So you hear that word and you begin to act on it. And then you are established on the rock. And that's what he told Peter when he had the revelation that he was the Christ. And he confessed it. He says, "You got that from the Father. What you're saying is a spiritual recognition of what you have revealed to your spirit. That's the rock. And on that rock, the church is built." And then he says in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I'll show you what it's like. The man who hears my word and acts on it," that's what Peter just done, "he's like the person who is now dug down. He's gone below the surface. He's gone below the visual, the sight lines, and the carnal or the natural, if you will. And he's established his place on the rock. And the storms come and it can't shake it. And the person who hears it and doesn't combine an obedience, a response, a word with what is being revealed, with the word that he has, well, he's the same kind of Christian. He's calling him Lord, Lord. But he ain't a kingdom Christian. He's a saved Christian. And he collapses. Utterly, terribly collapses. And he didn't say that because he wanted you to collapse. He said that because he wanted you to be the unshakable. And that's what Hebrews says. We receive the kingdom that can't be shaken. We don't receive the salvation that can't be shaken. And that's why when there are perilous times, and in the last days perilous times will come. That's Timothy chapter 3, isn't it? And men will become kind of crazy. And the shaking, everything that can be shaken will be shaking, according to Hebrews 12. And that shaking will take everything down that isn't the kingdom that can't be shaken. What does the kingdom look like? So I want to add a layer to that today, very simply, very quickly. The kingdom looks like this. You go to bed and you get up. You've heard things, you've had revelation, you go to bed and you get up. Because the soil is going to produce the crop by itself. Your job is not to try and make it happen in the natural. Your job is to combine spiritual revelation, spiritual things with spiritual words. Believe it, pray it in, rejoice in it. You know, what did Abraham do, Romans 4, when he was told, this year, next time, the same time next year, you're going to have a son? Well, that, he was told he would have a son 10 years ago. But now the Lord shows up and says, next year, this time, you're going to have a son. And it says he could consider what he could see. He was a little past it. Sarah was a little past it. And it said, in hope, he'd been in hope for 10 years, against hope, he believed. He moved over to believing. And it says he grew strong in faith. How did he do it? He went to bed, and then he got up. In faith, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. See? Giving glory to God. He'd already made the mistake of taking the suggestion that maybe he should do something to make this promise true. And you have 400 million Arabs or Muslims on the face of the earth today because of it. So, you don't necessarily want the weeds in your patch, right? But because he was Abraham, they have a blessing too. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, so why do I say when I go to bed and get up? Because when part of the kingdom is this. You see things in the Spirit. You speak things in the Spirit. But the first half of this, of our songs, were about the peace of God and the victory of God. And you stand still and see the salvation. You stand still and see the recompense of the wicked. You stand still to see kingdom things happening. You can't Ishmael your way to victory very well. And that is a maturity that we need. To hold something in our heart and to speak it, to know it's coming, and know that we don't muck it up and get in the Lord's way. Do you remember what Elijah did? When it was his turn and he hacked up the old bull, had the 12 stones, put it on the altar, and they had yelled and screamed in their flesh all day for Baal to come and do something. And he bailed and did what he usually did. Now, yeah. But, and I'm not saying Baal was just a dumb stick. Might have been a couple of really good demons in there somewhere. But he didn't show up that day. But what did Elijah do? He gets it all ready. And he says, put the water to it. Like, God's going to do this. Put the water to it. It's not my job to do God's job. My job is to get a revelation, to get understanding, to get the wisdom, and combine spiritual things with spiritual words. But really, my biggest job is go to bed and get up and never let go, because the soil produces the crop by itself. When it says that, it means the word that you have revealed to you in your spirit and in your mouth, is the way Scripture puts it. That word will do the job by itself. That seed will grow if the soil's there. If your spirit is holding it, that seed will grow. That word will produce. No word of God comes forth without power, is what the angel said to Mary when she said, I don't get it. And she was given the revelation, no word of God comes forth without power. It's a word of God if you are saying it to combine with a spiritual thing. So we enter into rest, the scripture says. We enter into rest. Can you rest while you're waiting for the Creator to do something? Can you be happy? All the teachings about faith are like that. All the teachings. Believe it, it shall be. Believe you have received, it shall be given to you. Speak what you believe in your heart, and you will have what you are speaking. I don't think this one's doing as good tonight. Yes, sir. Yeah. If you look at the parables of the seeds and the four types of seeds, one of the things Jesus teaches in there is that when the word comes, when the seed is sown, the birds come. And he says that is when the word is sown in the heart, immediately the devil comes to steal the word or to resist the word or persecute because of the word. Scriptures teach you that the word is that they want to steal the word from you. When did that ever happen? Did that ever happen before? Hath God said. It was the very first line of attack. Okay? Steal the word. And then the other one was to persecute you because of the word. So yeah, when you get the revelation, persecution comes. And so there's a flesh response that says, I'm going to have to fight this myself. I got a friend, when he goes into one of these things, he starts lifting weights. He thinks he's going to have a physical fight. No. He gets ready. Because he thinks people are going to carry out the devil's work or something, and he's going to smash them first. Anyway. Do you react by fighting in the flesh or by running? But actually the instruction is this. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You believe in God? Believe in me. What about, well, that kind of flows with Mark 11, 22, 23, doesn't it? Have faith in God. Have faith in me. Jesus would say them both. He who believes in me has passed from death unto life. He who believes in me has gone from judgment to life. He says, have faith in God. Whoever. Isn't that nice? That's not the anointed, the ministry, or anybody else. That's whoever says. It even works in the world. You're a spirit being. Even if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're a spirit being. And when you start to believe things and speak them, it starts to influence. And that's why the world is constantly trying to figure out what other people are thinking and believing. That's how they run governments now. Take a poll. Oh, we didn't like that. Take another poll tomorrow. Wait till they change their mind. Change what they believe. If they believe something different, then we'll act a certain way. But if you have faith in God, all things flow into the possibility. We have to be able to walk between those two. A physical attempt to react and defend, or and a carnal attempt to complete or undertake. When Abraham finally relaxed and decided it was time to walk by faith, he was already too late for the attempt to make it happen by the flesh, but he still achieved what was there in the spirit, because he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. He just went back to the Lord, just gave him glory, just praised him, changed what he was saying. His confession was no longer, I'm Abram. His confession was, I'm the father of nations, which is what Abraham means. He changed his name. I'm the father of nations. Around here, you have to be native to do that. But it works, what you're confessing. How do you know it works? Because of the revelation in your spirit. And it's according to your faith quite often. Increase your faith. That guy wasn't so stupid. He says, when you know, he came and brought his epileptic, demoniac son to Jesus and said, you know, your disciples couldn't do anything. If you can do something, would you help? And then Jesus just puts it right back on his desk. If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, he wasn't talking to some guy who had been in synagogue and seminary and, you know, he was talking to somebody who had a bad son. And he challenged him. He didn't say, oh, you poor thing, let me fix it for you. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. And the guy tried to climb the ladder and he says, I do believe, help my unbelief. Jesus ain't there to help your unbelief, by the way. You got enough all on your own. He don't need to supply any extra. But maybe he just misspoke a little bit. But Jesus wasn't interested in that kind of debate. He just wanted to educate him enough to know that the door is open. Number one. Number two. He was the answer. What did he say? Bring him to me. When you get strong in your spirit, you won't go thrashing around. You'll say, bring him to me. Bring him to me. When I pray for him, it'll change. Well, we didn't see a change. I'm not worried about what you see. I'm not worried about what you see. I'm rejoicing in what I did. I combined a spiritual thing, the word and the revelation of the word, with a spiritual word, my word. And what goes out of my mouth doesn't return to me void, but it goes forth and accomplishes what it's sent to do. For my ways are not like your ways, and my thoughts aren't like your thoughts. Because my thoughts are the mind of Christ, and those things that I see and those things that I hear are from the Spirit of God. Because I know that no one knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows what's in me except my Spirit. And we're together in this. I don't care what you see. Bring them to me. And you check your level. What do you mean, check your level? Well, you may not be up in Syria or down in Saudi Arabia, even though that territory was given to you. You may have never walked it yet. The children of Israel never walked their territory. They walked a small portion of their territory. When God was setting up the kingdom under the first king who would really obey him, not the first king, but the first king who would really obey him, Saul was the first king. David was the first king who'd really obey him. And he took not many wise, not many rich. I'm quoting Paul now. I'm not quoting anything from the old covenant. There was not many wise, not many rich among you. How do I know that? They were the distressed, everyone who was distressed, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented. 400 of them left the kingdom that had already gone, but still looked like it was there, and went to the kingdom that was real. And it was one guy hiding in a cave with a family that had come over to see, is he really crazy, like the Philistines say he is. And that became the nation no nation could touch on the face of the earth. And his son became the king that no one could be wiser than on the face of the earth at that time, and no one was richer. Those are hallmarks of the kingdom. what you do, the revelation of what you do, and the provision and the glory are fantastic. And you know who walked into it? 400 worthless, useless, incapable losers. Until the next chapter, when there were 600. Because of the increase of the kingdom and of his government, there is no end. The question is, who's going to be there? And the second chapter of Corinthians says, the rulers of this world don't know it. There was Saul still back there with the big army. He didn't know it. He had a sense of it. He told Jonathan, you're a worthless kind of kid because you don't understand your kingdom is being stolen by this guy. He was desperate to try and keep it carnally. It was already gone. David wasn't desperate. He wouldn't kill him. He still called him the Lord's anointed. He was the Lord's anointed, just the anointing had been taken. But David didn't put himself in the place of the judge. How blessed is the man who doesn't do that. You become like a tree planted by streams of water. So, what is it? You learn to walk, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And a lot of walking by the Spirit is this simple. Go to bed and get up. Go to bed, get up. But in your spirit, you pull. You are pulling in your spirit. Now, the Lord comes along and gives you some instructions. Go dip 7 times in the river. Go back 7 times and get the rain. Then do it. But if he's not saying it, and it's not from the Spirit, create it. Don't try to do facsimiles. Create it in the Spirit. Go to bed and get up. The soil will produce the crop by itself. First the blade, then the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. Start looking for the blade and go to bed and get up. Psalm 46. We're now living in the second chapter of Corinthians. Oh, they didn't put Psalms in this Bible. Here it is. 46. 46. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. While you're in Psalms, I was going to give this to you later, but since you're there, and I don't want to keep you people late, because I know that your bedtime is important. Well, I can't sit here preaching, go to bed and get up, if I don't let you, you know, go to bed. You know, that's hypocrisy. 95. Let's look a little bit at 95. You know, Psalm 95 is after Psalm 91, in case you're wondering. I think I'm going to start at verse 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Some of you know that as a song. Today, if you would hear His voice, just keep listening. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. It's got to enter into the heart of man. The soil is the heart. It's what produces from this word. As at Meribah, as in the days of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter into my rest. When things are happening in the spirit, you gotta relax sometimes. Hebrews 3:18, it says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest? But to those who were disobedient, to those who did not believe. If you believe, the servant of the Lord does not make, scripture says, does not make haste. He had a black eye. Look at that. Somebody hit that child. Did we? He went out there with his mother and he looked perfectly healthy, and now he's come back. Why is he? 2 Timothy 2:24. The Lord's bondservant must not, King James would say this, must not strive. You understand that? You must not strive. Read Hebrews 3 and into 4 if you want to hear the instruction to the church about entering into rest. But here the other side, another aspect of this rest is that you stop striving. Now that has two meanings. One, you're striving just to do in the flesh. You can't make the peas grow faster. The soil's producing that crop by itself. You go to bed and get up. Go to bed and get up. I mean, how much is this taking of your eternity? Anyway, go to bed and get up. The bondservant, the Lord's bondservant, must not be quarrelsome. That's the other form of striving. But be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. The maturity of a church is in their spiritual character, not in their programs. Patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. With gentleness. People are opposing you, and you want to just pick up the sword and take them down. Paul says, Timothy was his protege, correcting with gentleness those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. They're wrong and you're still being gentle. They're wrong and they're opposing and you're trying to correct with gentleness. See, he wasn't worried about who was going to win. That's why we looked at David. He wasn't worried about who was going to win. He says, there's King Saul, and then his boys are saying, kill him. This is the chance. Let's get this kingdom rolling. And he's saying, I like the guy. He's missed me twice when he threw the javelin at me. He probably did it on purpose. No, he didn't say that. But he said, you know, he's the Lord's anointed. How could I touch him? And Saul repented when he realized that David could have killed him. But the demon came back. And it repeated again. And David could have killed him again. And he wouldn't. Saul ended unhappily after that. The thing that he feared came upon him. This was kingdom stuff. You're either building it or you're tearing it down. This isn't salvation stuff. This is kingdom stuff. You don't want to be out there on the wrong side of the line. But perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. These people are acting devilish. They're actually doing the devil's will. You're still gentle, kind. You go to bed and you get up. You got to understand, you're going to be fine. Saul is not. Can you believe that? Can you combine that spiritual thing with your spiritual words? If you can, one of the first prescriptions is this. Go to bed. Get up. Don't sweat it, is the way Jesus would put it. Be anxious for nothing. Take no thought for tomorrow. Go to bed. Get up. This allows the Spirit to produce more quickly. It's believing that hastens the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the return and the next phase of the kingdom. We call for the Lord. We don't know the time, but John writes that the believing can hasten the coming of the Lord. And Jesus said, for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened. Well, what's he want the elect to be doing? Not striving, not quarreling, not disbelieving, but knowing, speaking, being focused and zealous with the mind set on things above. And at the same time, you go to bed and get up. How long will you have to run that meeting in Oaks North to hit 50 people? Go to bed. Get up. Do you see? The Baptist Church